If you have the word of the Lord with you this day, if you'd turn to the book of Mark, chapter 5. Now, I know in Hebrews it talks about, you know, faith. It talks about all those and with faith and everything. But in chapter 5, we're going to see a couple of instances of really people that had some pretty good faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I think we are going to see in this chapter not only the power of God, which I think is the most of it, but the power of God, but the power of Jesus Christ. And it comes down to with when Jesus said the one time with man, these things are impossible, but with God, what does it say? All things are possible. Now, I'm wanting to ask you today, do you believe that? Do you believe that? With God, all things are possible. I would sit there and say, I know that's true because I would never thought it would be possible that I would be a child of God. As my father used to say, I'm a miserable kid. I was a miserable kid when I was growing up. Did some things I'm not proud of today. You know, and I see, you know, that hand of God throughout my life. When you look back on your lives, can you see that hand of God was in your life as you were growing up? You should be able to look back in your life, and you should be able to go to certain points in your life, and you could see turning points in our lives. And there's a pivotal point in our life when I was doing some things I wasn't proud of. But then there had to come a point in my life, Brother Leroy, that you go either one way or the other. Remember we were talking about earlier about the left and the right. You know, are you going to go to the left or are you going to go to the right? We know what's on hand for those that go to the left, right, Brother Roger? And we know what's good for those that go on to the right. So we're always going to come to pivotal points in our life, and we can look back on those pivotal points in our lives, and we can see, Brother Butchie, where we make the right decision. But I believe that's not just us making that decision. It's God speaking to our hearts. Now, you could sit there and you could say, well, I wasn't even a child of God back then, Brother Dave. But he loved us in Ephesians chapter 2. He loved us when we were still in our trespasses and sins. Because when you were born, we were born a child of God. Because your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that Lamb's Book of Life was written when? Written when? Say that three times real fast. Written when? Before the foundation of the world, right? So that means before the foundation of the world, we were ordained, or I'm going to say it, predestinated, okay? People don't like that. People don't like that word, predestinated. We were predestinated to be a child of God. I know I'm getting off a little bit, but we see that power of God, that power of God that was in our lives that helped us get to this point where we are today. And we can see in this first part of chapter 5, we can see the great power of God. And let's start reading in there. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither can any man tame him. I want to stop there, you know, and we can see this demon that he was possessed with gave him some pretty good strength, because he was bound with fetters and chains, and he would break them. Now, these were steel. These were made out of steel, and he would break these things. But what I really want to look at right now for just a second is neither could any man tame him. I want us to focus upon that for a second. Neither could any man tame them. You know, when it talks about the tongue, it even says that the tongue can no man tame. can no man tame. But God is not a man. I am God, there is none else. I am that I am. He's the one that's sitting on his throne of glory and in control of everything that happens in this world today. With man, these things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. So, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." Now that was not the man speaking. That was the spirits that were inside of him. The unclean spirits that were inside of him. And we're going to see a little bit. So even the spirits knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Because if you look through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, go ahead and you look through there, and you see how many times when these spirits would sit there and would say, "We know who thou art, you're Jesus." And he would command the unclean spirits to come out. How many times would he want to do that? Because the people were coming upon him and he would do it. And that people were going to love him more for what he could do for them than what he could do for them. You know what I mean? They were just wanting, okay, man, he could take all these unclean spirits. Well, he can heal me from all my diseases. But did all these people really want Jesus to be the Lord of their lives? Some of them, I'm sad to say, that probably did not want that. But there's a lot of them who did want Jesus to be Lord of their lives. That we were to be wholly committed unto him. And we need to look at that and say today, are we wholly committed unto him also? But he said, that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." But look at in verse 9, and he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." When we see what a sad state of affairs this individual was in, that he was possessed with many, many unclean spirits. I would venture to say that none of us really know what that's all about. But I know sometimes when your mind gets the going, you got to watch out. Because when I was having those panic attacks, it's just amazing what your mind can make you believe. It made me believe that I was having a heart attack. It made me believe that I was choking and I couldn't get breath and everything, and that I couldn't breathe. So when these people are with these unclean spirits, and I believe they're still in the world today, we're not immune from some of these things. But I believe a lot of this is caused by we don't have our faith and trust in who we need to have. We need to have our faith and trust in what this said, "I know who thou art, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God." And verse 10, he says, "And he besought him," the man who was bound with fetters and chains, "he besought him," and the devils that were inside of him, "and he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violent down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Now, I guess from inference here, we would say that there was 2,000 unclean spirits inside this man because they all went out and they went into this herd of swine, and there was 2,000 of them, and they all went into the sea and killed themselves. Killed themselves. So when we see here what? The first thing we see, this power of God through Jesus Christ, that he told those unclean spirits, get out of that man. Get out of him. And he did. They did. All of them went out. And went out, and they went into this sort of swine, and they killed them. Hopefully, them spirits were all gone. Doesn't tell us exactly, so we're going to think that is what happened. Now, can you imagine? We're going to go on, and all these people that were taking care of the swine. Now, you know that this is not any country to do with the Jewish faith, because the Jews would not eat pigs, which are swine, hogs, pigs. They could not, that was unclean for them to eat. So now these people were taking care of this herd of swine, and can you imagine, all of a sudden, all of these pigs just start running down and they go into the sea and kill themselves. They were probably like, whoa, what went on? What happened here? So in verse 14, it said, they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. Now, we're going to read on a little bit, but you got to realize they're going to say, okay, when you look at things, okay, what happened? What changed? Here was this guy with these fetters and chains, and now all of a sudden this strange guy comes up, and all of a sudden, boom, all of these pigs are gone. They're dead. So what has changed, Brother Roger? This strange man that came up. I'm not saying they knew exactly who he was, but so now they come to Jesus and they see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. So they had to be afraid, because for how long? How long had this been going on? For quite a while that this guy had been this way. Broke the fetters and chains. No, nothing could tame him. So I would imagine people kind of kept their distance from him, Brother Lee. Right? They're like, okay, we don't want to go anywhere near this guy. And now all of a sudden, here he was, clothed and sitting by Jesus. And what else did he say? Oh, and he's in his right mind. What a power of God. He could command these spirits to go out of him. And this man that no man could tame, but there was one that could tame him. God. God working through his Son, Jesus Christ. And here was this man, and they were afraid. They were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell him that who was possessed, that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. See, they were not looking so much at that he healed this guy. They were looking more on what? The loss of the swine than the man being healed. So they didn't want anything to do with Jesus. You know, instead of saying, hey, come on here, maybe you can help some other people we have. No, they said, you know what, we want you to leave. Get out of here. Go. You know, don't come back. I'm surprised Jesus didn't, as he told his disciples in some of those spots, shake off the very dust from off of them because they didn't want anything to do with him. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Now that's a pretty good, that's a natural reaction, wouldn't you think, Brother Leroy? Hey, I want to follow this guy. But Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. So we can see, you know what Jesus said? And I'm sure Jesus thought, Gary, you know, this would be good. Yeah, why don't you come on with me? But you know what he was also thinking when he was doing all of this? See, Jesus thinks in ways we don't think. He thinks in levels that we don't think on. He says, you know what? I need a witness here. I need a good witness. And what better to do something like this? Let's heal this man. And he says, you know what? I want you to go back. I want you to tell your family. I want to tell your friends. I want you to tell whoever you can tell how the Lord's had compassion on you and the great things that he's done for you. And now, this guy could have been, he could have sat there and said, how's he going to know what I'm doing? But he didn't do that, did he? He sat there, I'm going to do. He was obedient to what God told him to do. We could learn from this. Obedience. Obedience, remember in the Old Testament, Saul, obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience. Obey the word of the Lord. And it just, he departed and he began to publish in Decapolis. Publish it. That means, you know what? Whoever would hear him and whatever listened to him, he was going to tell them. And I believe that he would probably, even if you didn't want to listen to him, he was going to tell you anyway. And that's the way we should be too in our lives today. You know what? Tell them how great things the Lord has done for us. You know, we have that song in our Bible. I was going to talk about that too a little bit. The Lord has been so good to me. You know, I will on him depend. And every day, wherever I be, I will on him depend. I will on him depend. Because he's been so good to us. And I'm sure this guy went out and he said, you know, God has been so good to me. I will on him depend and go and do those things that are what? Now pleasing in the sight of God. Knowing that, you know what? God sees whatever we do. You can't hide from him. Remember that. Remember, you can't hide from him. He sees whatever you do. Whatever you do. He knows. He knows. Now we're going to come to a couple of people. We're going to see power of God, but we're going to see having faith in God and believing in God. Now, these next two stories are more interconnected than with the Gadarene. They're more connected because one, actually these two are intertwined together, Brother Leroy. And they both lead one into the other. That's awesome. It's awesome. And when Jesus was passed, verse 21, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Now, can you imagine? I mean, here's one country just kicked him out. Now, here's another. He goes into another country, and people are like, they're just so glad to see him and everything. But again, they're glad to see him because they're wanting something from Jesus. They're wanting something from him. I've had a little bit of time at work, and I've been reading through the New Testament. And actually, I went through the four Gospels backwards. I went John, Luke, Mark, and then Matthew. I'm not done with Matthew. I just started into Matthew. And just reading some of these things and seeing the things that are contained in there. And if you get a chance, just reread the four Gospels and just see the things in there. And even with some of his disciples, you know, not understanding the things that he was doing, you know, and just when you read it and you just see when Jesus says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And, you know, they talked about, oh, gee, we didn't bring any bread with us. You know, and it wasn't because they didn't bring any bread. It was because of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all of them. And feeding all these people and everything. And Jesus was kind of like, you know, didn't you understand? You know, I could feed all these people. But all these people were coming to Jesus. They were wanting to hear him. But a lot of people started following because what, Brother Leroy? They were being fed. They were getting food. They were getting food. They were not focusing on the message that he was bringing unto them. You know, so many of them were focusing on Jesus and not what he was there for. So, in verse 22, behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. So we can see right away, we got this ruler of the synagogue coming. And he wanted Jesus to come and heal his little daughter. Can you blame him? Don't we want all of that? Isn't that when one of our family members are sick, that we want them to be healed? And we would be doing nothing different than what this man came, that we knew of Jesus, and Jesus was just there and came in. Wouldn't we be wanting to do the same thing? So we're really not any much different than some of these are. Remember I said these are going to be intertwined together. So now we see Jesus going along, and I wanted to stop there because it said that the people thronged Jesus. You ever been in a crowd? You know, there's a lot of people around. Maybe you might go to the fair, someplace where there's a lot of people. I ain't been up to Great America, but I used to go to Great America. You had a lot of people there. You got all these people. You're bumping into people. Somebody's bumping into you, you know, and whatever like this. You're going along and everything. So now, all these people are thronging him about. And there was a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. 12 years. And had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. So again, we see, you know what? Who do we put our faith and trust in? It's nice to put have trust in your doctor. Don't get me wrong, because let me tell you, if I don't trust my doctor, I'm not going to go to the doctor. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of people who don't trust doctors, and they don't want to go to doctors. But trusting in someone and having your faith in someone is entirely different. This woman, it looked like at certain points in her life, had put all of her trust and all of her faith in doctors. And, well, you know what? What was it? She wasn't getting any better, but she was getting worse. Wasn't getting worse. She was getting worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched his garment. And if you read the four Gospels, you're going to see when Jesus goes around and he goes in these different cities and tries, all these people want to do is just touch him. Just touch him. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. So, we have to be brought low too, so that we can see that the only thing that is going to save us is Jesus Christ. He has to bring us so low. He has to just strip us down to nothing to realize that, you know what, there's only one cure for a sin-sick soul, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Now, I'm going to go on a little bit before I'm going to go back. So I got to go a little forward to go a little bit back. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Isn't that amazing? Who touched me? Because he had perceived or knew that, what, virtue had went out of him. I mean, when we start thinking of that, Butchie, what power of God through Jesus Christ that you would know that something had went out of him? And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" They're kind of like, what is it with this guy? You know, I mean, you got to read the Gospels, because it's just like, you know, when they're in the ship and the storm is on the sea and everything, and they're like, you know, "Aren't you afraid? We're going to die." And he says, you know, rebukes the wind and the sea, "O ye of little faith." And the disciples and the apostles, even the apostles, that's what makes it so straight. The apostles are like, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" So now here they are again. What kind of man is this? And he says, "Who touched me?" All kinds of people were touching him. So it's almost like as if they didn't really, they did, but didn't really believe that it was the Christ. And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." So, trusting and faith. She finally came to the point where she was going to trust in Jesus, and she had the faith. Because if she didn't have that faith, she would not have been healed of her plague. Do you know what it's like? Have you ever had it that, you know, that you believed that something was going to happen with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, with every part of your body, you knew that this was going to happen? Well, that's what happened with this woman. Everything within her said, "You know what? I know." Now, it came down like, "Well, I'm going to see if it's going to happen." She said, "No, I know. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when I touch his garment, I'm going to be healed." That's a difference, isn't it? And because she knew that, Jesus sat there and said, "You know what? Your faith hath made you whole." Remember, Jesus says, if you had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, a little bitty thing, you'll say unto this mountain, "Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea," and it's going to happen. So she believed that it was going to happen. And it did, and it happened. Amazing. Amazing. Now, we could look back on it and reason it and say, "Well, we knew that," you know, because we can read it and say, "Hey, yeah, you know, you had to have that faith in God." Putting it into practice is something different. We need to put the things that we know into practice in our lives and in our hearts, That's what we need to do. What I'm saying today is probably more for Dave than it is for you. We have to have that. Now remember, we said these two stories were intertwined. It started out with Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. His daughter was near death. All of a sudden, boom, this little side thing happened. Now we're going to get back to it. While he yet spake these words, I'm going to add this. While he yet spake these words to this woman, there cometh from the ruler of the synagogue, the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why trouble thou the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the words that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." Now, see, Jesus knew he could do it. Jesus knew he could do it. But he's putting it back on this guy. Right, Susie? He's putting it back on him. Be not afraid. He's telling him, don't be afraid, only believe. Now, that's more easier to say than do. You know, it really is. It's easier to say it than to do it. So can you imagine that this guy probably just, as this woman was saying with her whole heart, her whole mind, and her whole body, and her whole soul, that I know that if I touch this, I'm going to be made whole. This guy was sitting there probably like, I believe, I believe, I believe. I believe that he can do this. I can believe. To verse 37, he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. Sidebar. You ever been in a court? And honor, we'd like to have a sidebar. Okay, so we're gonna have a little sidebar here. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then I would like you to sit there and write down how many times that Jesus takes with him Peter, James, and John. When he went into the garden, he took with him what? Peter, James, and John. So many times he took with him Peter, James, and John. We can see here that he took with him, he didn't take anybody else with him but Peter, James, and John. So if you get to reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, I haven't done that, so maybe I should do it too myself, huh? And just see how many times that he takes these three with him. It might only be 5 or 6 times, it might be 10 times, I don't know. But it seems like when I was looking, it seemed like it was more often than not that these three were the ones that was with him. You know, you could say they were Jesus' inner circle. The ones that he relied upon more than any of the others. If you look in the Gospels, when it talks about how he first went and picked up his apostles, well, they weren't apostles when he just did them, but if you look at, I think it's the first three or what? Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John. So he took these three with him. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeing the tumult, or the thing and everything that was going on in there, and them that wept and wailed greatly because the girl had just died. Because when Jairus came there to Jesus, his daughter was alive. And just in this little bit of time now, all of a sudden, she's passed away. Now they go to the house, and these people are wailing and crying and everything. Can't blame them. We'd probably be doing the same thing if we would have been there and this little girl had passed away. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Now we can see the father is still probably sitting there and saying, it's probably getting harder and harder for him, Leroy, to say, I believe, I believe, I believe. And he's still trying to, with every little bit of his body. You had to realize that if he had one little shadow of a doubt, it wouldn't have happened. One little shadow of a doubt. So you can imagine he's coming in and he's seeing all these people crying and everything. You know, and here he is. And now in verse 40, and they laughed him to scorn. I guess I cannot imagine anybody laughing at Jesus. I'm like, you are, you, You're crazy. She's dead. We've seen that she died. She's laying there. She's not breathing at all. She's dead. But when he had put all of them out, he says, you know what? I can't have any of these negative things inside here. You know what? So he put everybody out. He taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him. So who came into this, put everybody out, but Peter and James and John went with him with the mother and the father of the little girl. And them that were with him and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. What are the first words in verse 42? And straightway. Straightway. Now mine, I got a little thing that says, hey, look underneath here because there is, and it says immediately. Immediately. And immediately. You know, Jesus didn't have to come in. I know I'm going to be silly here a little bit, Brother Leroy, but Jesus didn't have to go in with these paddles and whatever that they do when somebody's heart stops and sit there and put these paddles on them and say, shock them and say, do they have a pulse? No. Immediately, the young maid arose. Praise God, right? Praise God. I imagine this guy was probably just like, yes, I believed and it was done. And it was done. Straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years old. 12 years old. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. Can you imagine when they opened up them doors and that little girl walked out? You know how they say their jaw hit the floor? You know how that's the saying we have nowadays? I imagine all these were like, close your mouth. What are you so astonished about and amazed? Who was Jesus Christ? What is one of the things they call him in the New Testament? What is it? God incarnate in the flesh. God. The power of God. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Can you imagine the faith? Now we see faith. Now, I know that, what is it, Hebrews, what is it, chapter 12? Is that the faith chapter? I can't remember which one it is. Huh? 11, okay. I was close. You know, they talk about that's the great faith chapter. But I don't know. What I've just read here today, man, you talk about having faith. That woman had to have faith and that guy had to have faith. Now, I don't know how far it was from where they were at to the house in which he lived. But to sit there and have that faith that I know that it was going to happen. To be honest with you, I don't know. I'd probably want to say, I hope this is going to happen. I hope this was going to happen. But this guy was, I believe that it's going to happen. I believe. And he knew that. What faith. What faith. It's not how much faith we have. You know, because even Jesus, what does he say? A lot of times, Billy says, oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. If you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed. So it's not how much faith you have, it's but who do you put faith in today? And I'm going to stop there. I thank you for your kind attention this morning. Does anybody have a song in closing? 154.